So on vacation, I got to take vacation last week. I got onto Twitter a little bit more than normal to figure out what's going on in the world. This is kind of a joke. But there are fun trending topics on Twitter that sometimes are hilarious. One was, you can ruin a book title with one letter. Hashtag ruin a book title with one letter. So the name of the game was to add a letter or take away a letter and just watch the magic happen. So the first one was, let me advance that. So this is Nightmare on Elmo Street. I think it's a book, right? What's the next one? Ruin a book title in one letter, Gone with the Wine. So I made some of my own with Christian book titles. This is a book written by the Puritans, Spinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Those are fidget spinners. Apparently they can do well with anger management. Spinners in the Hands. Maybe you've read celebrity pastor John Piper's book, Desiring God. Change one letter and you've got Desiring Cod. One of my favorite books, Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Change one letter and you've got The Cyst of Discipleship. You have a small, slow-growing bump. Yeah, one letter makes all the difference, right? We think of one letter as a small thing, but it's actually not. And even scientists who study this stuff say that we don't read letters, we read words, we read whole sentences at a time. So thus, one letter, we get spinners in the hands of the angry God. We're somehow desiring a fish, and we've got a growth on our neck. But I bring up the silly Christian humor that I made up, that I got a few likes on, to introduce a very serious topic. And the new series that we're going to be looking at this fall is called Kindle, Sermons from the Book of Acts. And yes, I do own a Kindle, and no, Jeff Bezos doesn't own the word Kindle. The Kindle is described in the book of Acts as something a fire does. And the Holy Spirit is something not always obvious to us. But in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit lights the people on fire. The book of Acts and its insight into the Holy Spirit give us at least three important things. The insight into the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts shows us what the church is. Shows us what it is and how it began. Secondly, the insight into the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts shows us what living a holy life is all about. And number three, the insight in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts shows us what's necessary for understanding the Scriptures. So, number one, how did the church begin? The church began in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the only account that we have of the beginning of the church. Thank God there's not multiple books about how the church began. That's nice. God gave us one account, and it was that account at Pentecost. For many of us, the Holy Spirit isn't a part of our regular vernacular about church. We love to talk about Jesus. Maybe we mention God every once in a while to our friends. God bless. God willing. Jesus loves you. Start saying Holy Spirit stuff. Whoa. Watch out. We might be one of those Pentecostal churches if we talk about Holy Spirit too much. Well, we shouldn't be afraid of that. The church is a Pentecostal phenomenon. It happened. It began at Pentecost. The church begins at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes down, fills the believers in Jerusalem. Secondly, if we are missing the Holy Spirit at all, or the Holy Spirit is sort of in the wrong place in our theology, it'll produce something that we don't want. It's perhaps the most forgotten aspect of our relationship of God. It's the third issue in the Trinity that we'll deal with later, instead of the third person of the Trinity. Living without the Holy Spirit is like living before the age of cell phones, when you could you have a flashlight suddenly available to you all the time. Remember not having flashlights available? The Spirit helps us understand the Scriptures. It illuminates the Scriptures for us. When we read the Bible, when we study the Bible, when we preach the Bible or teach the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives illumination. I read recent statements on Twitter made by evangelical leaders claiming that if you don't believe this way or that way about a particular issue, you're not a Christian. One well-known preacher has become famous for this kind of rhetoric. He says about women in lead pastor roles, he said, if you have a woman lead pastor in your church, you don't have a church and you don't have a pastor. You don't have a church and you don't have a pastor. Well, no, I don't think so. Wrong. You don't decide who is a pastor. You don't decide what a church is. The Holy Spirit does. I'd like to take that rhetorical device and say something about the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit working in your church and in your pastor, then you don't have a church and you don't have a pastor. How about that? Can we all agree to that? If you don't have the Holy Spirit working in your church, you don't have the Holy Spirit working in your pastor, you don't have a church and you don't have a pastor. Jesus ascends to heaven and breathes on his disciples the Holy Spirit. We have to stop thinking of the Holy Spirit as something other than or less than Jesus or less than God. That's called subordinationism. Point three, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the access to understand the Scriptures. Ultimately, you won't understand Jesus. As Paul says, these things are revealed not to the natural person, but to the spiritual person. From the book of Acts, we see that the church is founded on the life and work of Jesus. Yes, on the life and work of Jesus, but also, more definitively, on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Acts and the Apostles. We might say that Acts is just as much about the Acts of the Holy Spirit as it is the Acts of the Apostles. So I have one last Twitter picture, and sorry if golf is your pastime. It could be any pastime. This is an amateur photo taken by somebody. David Simon, who's a celebrity, picked it up and he said, in the pantheon of visual metaphors for America today, this is the money shot. This is the money shot. And there we have folks golfing. Doo, 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 and the hill is on fire behind you. Well, I would like to say something else about this picture. This is what we look like when we don't acknowledge the fire of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving through this church. The Holy Spirit is moving in our lives. Amen. Do we recognize it? Do we honor the Holy Spirit? Do we wait for the Holy Spirit? Far be it from us that we become people who take up leisurely activities when the world's on fire, when our neighbor needs our help, or when our family is hurting, or our children need us. More so, the Holy Spirit is lighting the world on fire. Are we attentive? Let's get into our scripture for today. Before we do that, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that's there, the spirit that's there, the intentionality with which the authors of the New Testament have written is mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing. So give us your spirit now to understand, to be illuminated by it. In your name we pray. Amen. So we begin reading the first sentence of the book of Acts. The first five verses is one sentence. If you look in a Greek Bible, you won't see a period till after the fifth verse. And this is just how they wrote. But one sentence is one thought. And so we're looking at this first thought in the book of Acts. And we see, and let's read there the first sentence. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, spoke about the kingdom of God, and on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them his command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So in verse 1 and 2, we see that Acts is written by the same author as Luke. If you read the first few verses of Luke, Luke will say, "Dear Theophilus, I've written you an orderly account of the life and work of Jesus Christ." So here we see that this book, the book of Acts, is a continuation from the Gospel of Luke, earlier on in the New Testament. There's a continuity that goes between the two books, or the two words, or the two logos, the two messages brought about by Luke. It's all about the person and work of Jesus, what Jesus began to do and teach. And it's a message for those God chose for starting the church who needed further instruction in the Holy Spirit. So at the end of Luke, Jesus dies, he resurrects, he appears to the disciples. But the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, the cross, they didn't quite understand it yet. So it wasn't enough at that point just for Jesus to go up into heaven and not do anything else. It leaves his Holy Spirit. So there's the assumption here that Jesus' work is not done. Jesus began to do, remember, Luke was all about what Jesus began to do and teach, and Acts is about what Jesus continues to do and teach. But there's even more than that. The NRSV translates this a little bit differently. Theophilus is supposed to pay attention to what Luke wrote to him or to her about what Jesus did from the beginning. That's a little bit different way to put that. What Jesus began to do and teach, or what Jesus did from the beginning. Because Luke's gospel, what's the genealogy of Luke's gospel? It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. It goes all the way back to the beginning. So therefore, what Jesus is doing started in the beginning of time. Jesus was with the Father in the beginning. That's how John puts it. Secondly, Jesus begins his life and ministry in Nazareth. Jesus stands up and reads the scroll from Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of the sight of the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's Jubilee. And he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant. This is Luke chapter 4. And sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. They were amazed at what Jesus was doing and what he was teaching. But we shouldn't forget one other thing, one other beginning that occurs in the book of Luke. Luke's gospel ends with Jesus going away from the disciples. Those disciples, those who walked with him day by day for those years of his earthly ministry that began there in Nazareth and concluded in the cross and in the resurrection, for them, this is an emotional farewell. Luke says, "Oh, Theophilus," in the vocative case. So that means in the Greek, it's vocalizing something. So when Jesus says to the woman in Matthew 15, "Oh, how great your faith is, woman," that's in the vocative. "Oh, how great your faith is, woman." He's vocalizing. It's like he's putting brackets around it. He's italicizing it or bolding it, maybe all caps like we do in emails. "I'm going to vocalize this to you. Get me that report." So there was some emotion. There's great emotion involved in this moment. Jesus is leaving his beloved disciples. Both men and women followed Jesus. And the disciples, those men and women, are about to launch the church. They were chosen for that work that began in the book of Acts. It began with the Holy Spirit's work, starting with Jesus' ministry, going on forward after Jesus ascends and leaves the Holy Spirit. So we will see in the book of Acts what the church is and what it's all about and how it began. Verse 3 and 4 of Acts chapter 1, we read, "After his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. 40 days. And spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them," wait, the resurrected Jesus is eating? "He gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised.'" So remember that emotive, "Oh, Theophilus." Luke is not describing a regular event here. This was intense. This is deeply moving. The disciples are wondering, "We don't know what to do. We're a little depressed." Peter's like, "I'm going fishing. I'll see you later." They don't know what to do. But after his suffering, Jesus presents himself alive by many convincing proofs. Speaks to them for 40 days. What an incredible moment this must have been. That 40 days must have gone by faster than the summer just went by. Must have gone by super fast. There must have been so many questions and so many thoughts and so many answers coming from Jesus' words and eating and fellowshipping with them, showing them his scars. This is all recounted in the book of Acts. Opening up the scriptures for them. You have the road to Emmaus story. This lens that Jesus gives them to see the scriptures is one of the crucified Messiah. See, they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah to come and rule. We'll see that next week in the next verses. They were coming looking for a Messiah to overthrow Rome and to take back Jerusalem and to reset up temple worship. And they didn't understand. Why did you die, Jesus? Why did you give your life like that? What's the point? Now what do we do? It's over. The dream is over. We'll see in the book of Acts and what I was alluding to earlier that those who want to live a holy life will follow the suffering Messiah. They'll suffer too. Those who follow Jesus will live according to the Holy Spirit. But not only will they suffer, that's part of it, but they'll live according to the Spirit and life will spring up everywhere. And that's what we'll see in the book of Acts as well. We'll see life springing up. Peter will walk by people and people will be healed. The disciples will speak and thousands of people will change their minds suddenly about what they thought about God. Unbelievable. At the end of verse 4 and 5, we see what the promise of the Father is, the baptizing of the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't know what to do. You shouldn't know where to go or what to say or how to say it. That's the attitude we should have. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't know what to do or where to go. John baptized with water. That's the baptism of repentance. And for early Christians who were also Jews, they didn't understand baptism as necessarily even a one-time or a static thing. It was a dynamic thing. Many forms of baptizing, cleansing, washings, ritual washings, sprinklings, immersions. So this baptism isn't just about that you have salvation from God, but that the Holy Spirit gives you understanding about what the cross is all about, what the suffering Messiah is all about, what a holy life is all about. You want to see some power? Luke says at the end in chapter 24, the Holy Spirit will come, the gift of the Father will come, and clothe you with power. Clothe you with power. You want to see power? Look at fishermen explaining the crucified Messiah. Tax collectors, nobodies, starting a revolution. That's power. You'll see Stephen preach. You'll see Peter change his mind about what he was so sure about. You'll see people coming to the Lord. You'll see people being changed, being healed, being transformed by the renewing of their minds, being taken over by the Holy Spirit. The church in the book of Acts is the event of God's coming into the world. We shouldn't just think of the church as a weekly gathering, though it is. We are all part of an event. An event that's been going on for 2,000 years. That means while our buildings are important and the cultural clothing of the gospel and of our music is important, and even our expectations of what church is supposed to be like, all of that is challenged by the movement of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as we wait, as the disciples were told, wait in Jerusalem because you don't know what to do yet. Dependence on the Holy Spirit is of utmost importance. Maybe you've asked once before, Holy Spirit, come and give me a fresh revelation. Maybe you did that once. Maybe you do that regularly. I'm asking that we as a church do that this week and next week and the weeks to come. Lord, inform me. Show me where to go. Show me who to talk to. Not only show me who to talk to, tell me what to say. I don't know what to say. Do we have a passion for others to actually understand and comprehend what it is that has happened to us? Do we have a passion to tell others about why we exist? In the ancient world, to say and to explain things was power. Even today, to say and explain things is power. It's power. People pay attention. Oh, you know what this is like? You know how this is happening? You can tell your neighbor, I know why I'm here. I know why I'm here in this world. I know why my life exists. I know why I have this problem, or I know why. Because the Holy Spirit told me, this is why. This is why I struggle, so that I can see God as supreme, as number one in my life, so that others can experience the Holy Spirit. This week, pray to the Holy Spirit. Don't just pray to Jesus or to God. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Wait on the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples were told to wait. We've got a class going on right now about prayer. A lot of times prayer is just about waiting. You wait. You listen. You stop. Wait on that answer. Talk about the Holy Spirit. Talk about the Holy Spirit with one another. I'm discerning. The Holy Spirit is discerning. And always go back to the Scripture to see, okay, is that something the Holy Spirit would say? And then be ready to move accordingly. Be ready to move into action. Be ready. Let's pray. Lord, kindle our passions for you. Lord, kindle our love for you and for others. Holy Spirit, kindle our desire to be like you. Holy Spirit, kindle our minds for your teaching. Holy Spirit, set on fire our hearts that we might be more like you. Holy Spirit, kindle the fire of the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, in us, we pray. Amen.